Welcome back. This week, Rick, we've got the opportunity to talk with Dr. Margaret Berry from the Mount Hope Veterinary Hospital about how to go through and really pick an outstanding veterinarian to take care of your pets. It's something a lot of people may not think about, but it's one of the most important decisions that they can make when it comes to good pet keeping. So with that said, good morning, Dr. Berry.
Good morning.
Dr. Berry, if I can just ask you a question to start out the conversation, what would you say is the most important consideration someone should make in choosing a veterinarian?
Well, if we go by what the American Veterinary Medical Association recommends, their first statement would be use the same care as choosing your own health provider.
Okay. So in other words, you want to find someone that you're comfortable with and that you have confidence in that they can take care of your pet the way that they need to.
Yes.
Under all circumstances.
Someone that actually listens. Listening is one of the most difficult thing we do. Somebody who actually listens to you and you feel comfortable communicating with without any fear of reprisal or being judged or anything like that. You just really need to feel comfortable with your veterinarian.
When we're looking at getting a new vet, you know, I've never went to a particular vet clinic. How do you go about, as a consumer of veterinary medicine, how do I engage conversation with that veterinary practice? And is there a way in which I can do that? Or would it be setting up an initial appointment?
I think you can do it a few ways. The first thing and most important is your first phone call. You know, how do the people treat you on the phone? Do they sound happy to be there? Are they willing to answer your questions? I think it's really important that you go and evaluate a practice. You can just walk in and say, hi, I'm new in the area. I'm looking for a new veterinarian, and I wanted to, you know, check you guys out. And, you know, is there a veterinarian available or staff member that's available that can answer some of my questions? Have questions written down that's important to you. And, you know, I would say in descending order of importance and make notes. And the third thing I think is really simple, if you have the time, is schedule one of your companions in for something simple like a toenail trim.
Sure.
To meet the staff. And if the staff is doing the toenail trim and treats your companion and you as good people and you feel comfortable, but the veterinarian didn't come in to do the toenail trim, well, ask if the veterinarian has a minute or two so that you can meet them and see if you can establish some type of feeling about them and whether this is the place and the people that you would like to engage a long-term relationship with.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, because I don't know if a lot of people always think to meet with a vet prior to making a decision to have them work on their companion animal. And yet it would seem like that would be a critical thing to do, because Rick, in your case, most people have dogs and cats, but you've got all different kinds of animals, and not every vet, you might assume every vet can work on small animals and rodents and birds and other things like that. But that's not the case. Or is it? Are all vets pretty much prepared to deal with all kinds of animals? I didn't think so.
No. There are definitely veterinarians that are more qualified to deal with, and when I say exotic, I'm talking about your large citizens, your large birds, your reptiles, your snakes. I'm not talking about your hamsters and your rabbits and, you know, what we call pocket pets, rats, and things that a lot of people do have, you know. But, you know, you spend a lot of money, a lot of financial obligation to properly taking care of your exotics. What you don't want is somebody who doesn't handle birds more than once in a, you know, 3-year period. You want somebody who handles birds daily. You want somebody who knows quite a bit about reptiles and handles reptiles daily. And you should be able to get that information from the person you purchased it from, particularly if it's from a pet store.
Sure.
If it's from a private owner, then you should ask where they take their exotics too. And you should do your research and get on, you know, get on the phone. We refer people all the time to veterinarians that we know are very well versed in handling the exotics. We're not going to just say we can do it just because we have a small book in the back that says we handle, you know, we can look it up and see what to do. That's not what we're about.
Right.
Give them the best.
Dr. Barry, when it comes to identifying with animals, I would imagine a lot of times it's like dealing with young children who can't speak yet. There's a communication gap when it comes to, as an adult, if I don't feel good, I can say, I don't feel good. And here are the symptoms that I'm experiencing. But with animals, it's probably a little bit more difficult for the average person to recognize. And frankly, I would think that a lot of times they're not bringing their animals in when they need to because they don't recognize the symptoms, or because they're seeing behaviors that are different than usual. They're very quick to bring animals in, even though it may be an ordinary course of life type thing, like allergies that take place during certain times of year. How can people go through and understand better what they're identifying with symptoms and when they should bring their animal in, and maybe when it's something that they can just take care of the animal, let it run its course, and they'll be fine?
I guess my reply to that is the best person to know their animal is the owner. If the owner feels that there's something not right or something a little off, and it's within 2-3 days, it's not changing, it's time to see their veterinarian.
And wouldn't it be possible, you could make, if you have a regular vet that you go to, if you found that companion vet that you really kind of gel with, I would assume, in your case, your clients, if they called up and talked to the receptionist and explained what the situation was, that dialogue is something that could kind of help guide that person through that. Wouldn't that be the case? You know, they may say bring it in, but at least, you know, if it's something ridiculous that probably is typical and normal and not to worry about, they could always chat with the vet and not even make a visit?
Let's do a for instance. Let's say a client has never owned a female cat and she's coming into heat. And when a female cat comes into heat, they look like they're in horrid pain. They do all sorts of things that appear to the owner as not very normal. So certainly if they called and described to an educated staff member, or the staff member took the message, relayed it to a veterinarian to, you know, answer the call, we would certainly say that sounds like a female cat in heat. Perhaps we can schedule, you know, a spay. Otherwise, I always say to my staff, if it's important enough to call, it's important enough to see.
Sure.
Because my feeling still is the person who knows the most about their animal is the person who lives with it. Uh-huh. If there's something not right and it hasn't changed, then it's a good idea to see the veterinarian.
And oftentimes there's probably a dialogue that goes along with that particular instance. Like, for instance, it's first heat. There's questions you're going to have as a consumer, and who better to ask than the veterinarian themselves, correct?
I would agree.
Yeah, and yes. That's also another opportunity for you to kind of feel how the veterinarian answered those questions, so that when something more important comes up, you have a better correspondence with that vet and a better feel for, you know, if it's only your first or second time with that vet and you go in for a simple problem, it ends up being a simple problem, you don't know that going in, and you're treated well, then that gives you encouragement, right?
I certainly think it should. And I also think that, you know, just the fact that you are looking for a form of, one, good communication, trust, and that nobody's going to make you feel silly or awkward because it's something that you didn't really know. And there's nothing wrong. And so they've always said there's no stupid question except an unanswered question. And I 100% agree with that. So communication, number one. Obviously, at a certain point, you have to also develop trust. When you ask a question, it's going to be answered as fully as possible. And if you schedule an appointment, and you know, at our facility, our appointments are scheduled every 15 minutes. Most run longer than that, but we try to at least give you 15 minutes of our full attention. And there will be a lot more questions to be answered than just, yes, your cat is in heat.
We're talking this morning with Dr. Margaret Berry from the Mount Hope Veterinary Hospital. Dr. Berry, when you're dealing with people's pets, obviously they're very, very passionate about these animals. They're family members, and they do really want to do what's best, but they're still animals for some people, and they may consider the dollar as much as they consider the well-being of the pet keeper. Of course, that's not our listener, Rick, but there are some people who I'm told might be that way. What advice can you give people to how they can proactively care for their animals and do the best job to keep them healthy so that they don't incur the very big vet bills for the injuries and the diseases that inevitably come about from neglect or a lack of preventative care?
Well, first of all, I'd say to those people, even if economics or their financial situation sets it up so that they don't have a lot of extra available income, is to still set up a relationship with a veterinarian. If you decide to do a majority of your own vaccines, dewormings, things of that nature, then make sure you keep your own your records. Make sure you bring them in. Where did you purchase your vaccines from? What type of dewormers did you use? How often did you use them? Bring a stool sample and make sure that, you know, the animal has been cleared. I mean, everybody does have a different, everybody comes from a different place in terms of what an animal should have done by them or done by a veterinarian. The biggest thing is if you establish a relationship with a veterinarian and it comes down to a time that something major occurs, you have a trust and a relationship with somebody that you can call and go to. If you do everything on your own and you don't believe in this, you're kind of stuck in a situation that you're now thumbing through the yellow pages or picking the place that's closest to you, and you don't really know if this is the appropriate place for you and your animals.
We've been talking with Dr. Margaret Berry from the Mount Hope Veterinary Hospital. Dr. Berry, if we can keep you through the break, what we'd like to talk about after the news is more information regarding how to go through and really determine the right vet for your particular situation and certain specific situations when it comes to a vet. And we'll have that discussion right after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.